session number 16738, Rule 2.
Gordon Selby, Rule 2. To what extent, when you went out on patrol, did you feel that you might meet your death on patrol?
Not at all. I would think that very few people ever felt that way, or ever thought about it.
And yet it could have happened, obviously.
It could have happened, but I suppose you get so much confidence that you almost feel invincible.
Why do you think Quanklin had such success? Do you think it was solely because of his ability, or was it largely because of luck, or what?
Well, luck has to play a part in it, naturally. I mean, you can be the most efficient CO under the sun, but if the targets don't come, then you can't sick them. But he had a very clear, pardon me, mathematical mind. I'm sure he didn't depend entirely on the what we call a fruit machine for carrying out his attack. I think he knew exactly what he was going to do, and then knew exactly how to do it. I think he also had, certainly after the first couple of attacks and patrols, he certainly had the confidence in himself. What I suppose you would call he had his eye in. Luck naturally does have to play a part in it, and I suppose we were lucky on one or two occasions, but you can't be lucky all the time. There has to be some skill involved in it.
So you were talking about that patrol in which the Oceania and the Neptunia were sunk.
Yes.
Anything to add about that one?
I don't think so, except that we weren't, you know, having sunk two troop ships, we weren't depth charged at all. In fact, if my memory serves me right, the escorting destroyers put up an anti-aircraft fire. They probably thought we were being bombed, but goodness knows why. And they were very involved, of course, in trying to save life from the two sinking ships because they were fully laden with troops going to North Africa. After that patrol, the next one that I can remember is the sinking of our first submarine, which was, I think, in January 1942, when we only had one torpedo left and we sighted the submarine on the surface at night, and it was the Admiral St. Bon, Italian submarine. And we picked up three survivors from that and brought them back to Malta.
How did they behave on board?
I think they were very happy to be out of the war. At least they appeared to be. We had no problems with them at all.
Did you have to keep close watch on them?
Well, we did for the first day or so, but after that we had them scrubbing the deck, etc., doing some of the chores for us.
How were they retrieved from the sea?
Just turning out the four planes and hauling them inboard with heaving lines. As I say, it was a surface attack at night. Sorry, it was a dived attack, but we surfaced immediately afterwards.
Were they officers or ratings?
Ratings, no officers. What happened to them? I haven't the faintest idea. I suppose they were sent off to Alexandria or somewhere and finished up in the prisoner of war camp.
What do you think in general about the question of submarines taking aboard survivors?
Quite a lot of experience of it in Storm later on in the war. We had as many as 30 people up in the four ends of Storm at one time. I think that survivors should be picked up if it's feasible to do so. But, of course, you also have to bear in mind how much longer you're going to be on patrol and what your patrol orders are. But no reason at all, generally speaking, why you shouldn't pick survivors up. In fact, I think you should.
And after this one, the Admiral sent Bonn?
Well, I left Upholder. Well, we got back into, after the next patrol, the captain sent for me in harbour and asked me if I'd be prepared to join another submarine as its coxswain, which meant a promotion for me. But this would be about the middle of February 1942. As I say, it would have been a step up the ladder for me. On the other hand, Upholder had almost completed her time in the Mediterranean, was almost due to come home, so it was quite a problem as far as I was concerned, which way to go. Anyway, I did accept the promotion and went to the submarine P-39. I joined her in late February 1942. Upholder, just to finish the story with Upholder, she carried on, did one more patrol after I left her, and then the patrol following that was the patrol on which she was sunk, or she didn't return from. P-39, we did one patrol, came back into harbour, and by that time the Germans had started operating out of Sicily with their aircraft, and was subjecting the submarine base in Malta to very heavy attacks. And in one of the first of these, we had a very near miss in P-39, which did considerable damage, smashed about more than half of our battery cells. We went over into the dockyard to get rid of the broken cells and put some new ones in, enough to get us back to England for repairs to be made. And whilst we were in dockyard hands at the end of March, I think it was 26th of March, we got another dive bombing attack which put a bomb right underneath the boat and broke her back. So that was the end of P-39. In the first attack, at the beginning of March, we were all on board. It was a normal working day. We had one or two injuries from broken glass, etc., but nothing other than that. In the second attack in dockyard, which actually broke the back of the submarine, there was nobody on board. A couple of us were on the jetty alongside, but most people were in the shelters. By this time, all the submarines were being dived by day, and work was carried out on the surface at night, because of the very heavy bombing that was going on. Several submarines had bad damage. Sokol, the Polish one, Unbeaten. Another one was badly damaged too, sitting on the bottom. P-36 was sunk alongside, and it was during the course of this bombing and about mid-April that it was decided to evacuate the submarines from Malta. They could no longer stay there. And the surviving submarines were sent off to Alexandria or Haifa. The crew of P-39 were kept together after the boat had been smashed, and we were utilized to go to man submarines sitting on the bottom whilst they were in harbour, so that the crews could go off to the rest camp. And that lasted throughout the whole of April. The beginning of May, the submarine Olympus came in with a load of stores for Malta, and we were used to unload the stores, and then the whole of P-39's crew and some from Pandora, which had been sunk, and some from P-36, which had been sunk, were put on board for passage back to the UK. and we sailed at about 4 o'clock in the morning on the 8th of May 1942, and just after 5 o'clock we hit a mine about 7 miles off Malta, and the boat sank. Altogether there were about 96 people on board. There was a continual air raid going on over Malta, so nobody on shore knew that we'd been sunk. And I suppose it took about 10 to 15 minutes for the boat to go down, so the majority of people got up onto the casing. We did in fact do a count on the casing, got 84. The figure sticks in my mind. And of that 84, in the group that I was in, only 7 made the beach. We had to swim all the way back. I am told, I've since been told, that there were 12 survivors altogether from Olympus.
Where were you and what were you doing when Olympus was mined?
Just about to have breakfast at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And what sensations did you have when you hit?
Difficult to remember that. I suppose there was an almighty thump up forward. I was in the PO's mess. We wondered what had happened, and almost straight away we got the instruction to abandon ship. Everybody sort of got up the conning tower and the gun tower out onto the upper deck. Some people would have been trapped up forward where the mine hit, but not more than half a dozen, I would think. But as I say, we'd only sailed an hour beforehand, so people were just beginning to settle down. We did get some life-saving gear up there, but nobody who survived had any life-saving equipment. Certainly nobody that I knew survived had any. And no officer survived at all. The only officer that nearly made it was my own CO from P-39, and he drowned a couple of hundred yards off the beach, I suppose. He got that far.
What was his name?
Marriott. Lieutenant Marriott.
What were climatic conditions at the time?
Not bad. Water was a bit cool, but it wasn't rough. So far as I was concerned, the swimming wasn't difficult. Don't really remember much more about it than that.
Were people swimming alongside you?
Oh yes, we tried to group people, tried to get people in groups, but gradually they dropped. Gradually they just dropped off. Until eventually, as I say, I only knew 7 of us reaching the beach, but I'm told that there were another 5 who may have landed elsewhere. And we were taken to hospital. There were some army people on the beach when we got there. We were taken off to hospital, returned to the submarine base that night. This was a Friday night. And on the Sunday, we were hustled on board the mine-laying cruiser Welshman, and brought back to the UK.
Which hospital did you go to? Whereabouts was it?
I think it was M'Tafa Hospital.
And how many miles do you think you swam?
About 7. Long way. Didn't land and didn't get to the beach till about 12 o'clock.
In what condition were you in by the time you got to the beach?
A little tired. A little hungry.
Had you ever swum so far before?
No. No.
Ooh. What happened in the Welshman on the trip back?
Nothing very much. She put up a little bit of camouflage to make her look like a French cruiser. And she was capable of about 40 knots. And as far as I was concerned, she did 40 knots all the way home. So we were back in Milford Haven the following. We sailed on Sunday, and we were back in Milford Haven the following Sunday.
Did you have leave once you got back home?
Yes, I got leave. I was recalled from, three of us were recalled from leave to attend an inquiry with Admiral Horton, who was Flag Officer Submarines at the time. And back on leave, I finished my leave in June, sometime in June, and then went up to Rothsea and joined the submarine L-26 up there.
When would this have been?
That would have been June 1942.
How did this submarine compare with what you had been used to?
Oh, L-26 was almost a World War I submarine. She was built about 1919, but she was being used for training. So we only did day running from Rossi. And I spent a year in, or just on a year in her. I left her in June 1943 and took passage in the cruiser Uganda back out to the Mediterranean, to Algiers. And I was spare crew in Maidstone. I did a couple of patrols in the submarine Sickle, the captain of which was Lieutenant Drummond, who had been my first lieutenant in Upholder for a time.
Where did these patrols go to?
Off the south of France and Sardinia.
Any success in those?
No, not at all while I was there. Sickle was lost in the middle of 1944. I went back to Maidstone, and Maidstone sailed from Algiers about November or early December 1943. And we went to Alexandria, did a docking there, and carried on to Trincomalee. When we arrived in Trincomalee, I did one patrol in storm, and after that patrol I relieved the coxswain in storm and went as its coxswain and stayed in storm for the rest of her commission. We did our patrols running out of Trincomalee. They lasted about 4 to 5 weeks at a time, going down to Sumatra and Port Blair, all Indian Ocean stuff. We did a lot of gun action. Quite a different war in the Far East from a submarine point of view, whereas in the Mediterranean we were used to being dived all day and only on the surface at night. In the Far East we were on the surface a lot of the time, both day and night, and certainly we had to do passage on the surface to and from the patrol areas. It took us a couple of days to get from Trincomalee to wherever we were going. I did a lot of gun action because a lot of the stuff we saw was small stuff, not worth a torpedo. We did one patrol of landing agents on one of the islands.
What did you think about doing that kind of work as opposed to the normal interception of convoys and so on?
A bit frustrated. I think that having spent 18 months in the Mediterranean, a fairly hectic 18 months, it really didn't seem like submarine work to me in the Indian Ocean. just travelling on the surface, I suppose, and doing gun actions came a little bit strange. But it's something you get used to, of course.
But you prefer the Mediterranean style of work, you mean?
Well, I felt that was more like submarine work. I mean, we were almost like a small gunnery ship in the Indian Ocean. We did carry out a couple of torpedo attacks, but they were very much in the minority. It was nearly all surface stuff, gun action. The patrols were longer. As I say, we were in the Mediterranean. We'd been doing anything up to 14 days. In the Far East, we were doing up to 35 days. My captain in Storm was Lieutenant Commander Young. He was the first RNVR captain of a submarine, and he's still alive. Again, he was very much in the Wanklin sort of mould. He was a quiet, unassuming sort of person, and gave everybody a feeling of confidence. Eventually, in September 1944, Storm went on patrol in the Indian Ocean, and instead of going back to Trincomalee, we carried on to Western Australia and finished up in Perth, in Fremantle, by which time Maidstone, our depot ship, had already arrived there, so we did our last two patrols out of Fremantle, coming up towards the Celebes, etc., working under an American admiral. Nothing of any particular event, I suppose. Still more gun actions. We were sinking small schooners, which were loaded with nickel ore and things of that nature. We would take the crews off to bring them on board, sink the ship, and then wait till we picked up another one and put everybody on board that one and let it go after they'd unloaded the cargo over the side. I can remember one occasion when we had about 35 prisoners on board in the fore ends. We couldn't have dived if we wanted to. On one occasion, we took on a small coastal convoy with the gun and picked up one Japanese prisoner, a soldier, out of the water, brought him back to Trincomalee.
How did he behave?
Very well, very well. We kept him under guard, but half the time he would give the guard a shake to wake up, it was time to relieve or something. But we had him scrubbing the boat out, etc., doing some of the chores, but he was very quiet.
And the occasion when you had the mass of prisoners aboard, what kind of people were
they? Well, they weren't prisoners, really. They were just survivors from the boats that we sank. They were natives, Malays and Indonesians, women and men.
Were they difficult to cope with?
No, they were only on board for a day anyway.
Just going back to the agents, what did the crew feel about doing that kind of work as opposed to attacking ships?
I don't think there was any particular feeling about it at all. It was a question of stopping supplies getting through. I don't think anyone thought very deeply about it. We were very concerned not to unnecessarily cause anyone to be killed, which is why we took them off the ship before we sank it. Off the boats rather than ships. Couldn't call them ships. Our main object was to prevent the cargoes getting through to wherever they were going.
And living conditions aboard the boats in the Far East as compared with the Mediterranean?
Well, neither conditions were particularly pleasant. But in the Far East, of course, because the patrols were longer, you sort of had sacks of potatoes and boxes underneath mess tables, etc. You were falling over stores when you first went to sea, but you gradually ate your way through them. 14 days at sea in the Mediterranean, you didn't carry all that much stuff, but on the other hand, you didn't have much room to put it in anyway. There were smaller submarines. I suppose, from living conditions point of view, it was a little better in the Far East than it was in the Mediterranean, simply because of the different size of submarine that you were in.
But wasn't the heat a greater problem?
No, we didn't find the heat a great problem, really, because we had air conditioning in the S-boats out there. Almost all the submarines had air conditioning. It was a problem in harbour, more of a problem in harbour where you didn't run the air conditioning than it was at sea where you did run it. In fact, it was quite pleasant to get to sea sometimes from Trincomalee to get air-conditioned atmosphere. Well, Storm arrived home in April 1945. We left in end of January to do a patrol on the way home and carried on home. And I was on leave when VE Day occurred in May 1945. I was taken out of Storm when she arrived home, went on leave. Storm itself went over to the United States to do a refit. Some of the original crew went with her, but quite a few of us left the boat. I was recalled soon after VE Day and sent over to Norway to pick up a German U-boat, which was in there, and we steamed her back to Lisa Harley, Londonderry. Majority of the crew were British, but we had one or two German specialists on board for the trip back to Lisa Harley. That was a Type 21, which was a brand new submarine, fully stored for sea. Quite an experience to see that new construction.
What did you think of the German U-boats as compared with ours?
This was far superior to anything I'd been in.
In what way?
Well, it's not exactly a new concept of submarine, but a new style of submarine which was built for the Atlantic War. And I think we were very fortunate they didn't get very many of them to sea before the war ended. And some of our later, when I say later, I mean later after the war, submarine construction was based on what they learned from the German Type 21s. We spent some time, I suppose I stayed in U-2529 for about 3 months, and I was then brought back to Dolphin to be an instructor in submarine training on with ratings. During that time, I passed for warrant rank. My promotion came through in 1947, and I refused it. And I was then drafted to the submarine Truculent in 1948.
Why did you refuse promotion?
I didn't see that it would be of any value to me. By that time, by 1947, I'd been a coxswain for 5 years, and I didn't think